It's quite a number in the congregation here are aware that just in June time, a drunk driver hit my car and wrecked it, and I wasn't too happy about that, because just 2 days before he did that, I had got it back from the mechanic, and he had put a new wing on it and spread it in and made a real good job of it and done some other paint work as well, and it was looking very well. Now, the reason I had to get the new wing is this. It was rotten. I looked at it a good while ago, and there were little bubbles on it. They weren't very big. But then I brought it round to the man who would do the body work, and he said, patching up is only a waste of time and money. This wing is rotted right through to the inside. And really what he was saying to me was that what you are seeing on the surface is just an indicator of something that is well established underneath, that is the rust. And men and women, we have read tonight about a leper. And leprosy, largely in those days, first exhibited itself on the surface of the skin. Tiny little spots. Maybe not much bigger than a pinhole. Very often they were white in color, and sometimes they were black or red. But they just appeared on the skin. And to begin with, they didn't seem to appear to amount to very much. But this leprosy was not confined to the skin, just like the little rust bubbles wasn't all that there was in the wing of my car. Because this leprosy was something that was actually deeply seated in the bones and joints of the body. The spots were fearful indicators of something that had a very well-rooted existence. It was leprosy. Now, leprosy advances, sometimes quite slowly, going from one stage to another, but always with certain ruin. And confining ourselves tonight to the biblical form of this disease, it was very painful. It was something that people loathed. And it spread, brought inevitable death to men and women. This leprosy is one of the great Bible pictures of sin. The leper here was appointed to look upon himself, amazingly, as one who was already dead. Over there in the book of Leviticus, I can read to you what it says in chapter 13. It says in verse 45, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean." You will notice that there were three symbols there. There was the clothes shall be rent, the head shall be bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. These three symbols were symbols of sorrow for the dead. So he was to look upon himself as one who was already dead. And what a picture of mankind and his lostness. As I thought of that, I thought of death row in the United States. Some people have been there for a long time. Some of the people in there are the most notorious individuals that you're ever likely to meet. And I said that some of them are there for a long time, but it is death row. Eventually, the inevitable will happen. They will die. And as I look at this portion with you tonight, I've given a title to it, On Sin's Death Row. On sin's death row, because that is what is presented to us here. as we look at the leper in Mark's Gospel and chapter 1. Notice, first of all, there is here trouble that was progressing. Trouble that was progressing. Now, leprosy is a very foul disease. And it is amazing, even in relatively modern times, how people would seek to hide it. Some of you tonight in the building have heard of Dr. Bill Woods, who did, I was going to say, a great work, but it was a phenomenal work in the Amazon there, working with people for years on end who had leprosy. And many of them would not make it known, not make their condition known, until there was already much disfiguration, until the leprosy had progressed quite well. They seemed to be almost ashamed to disclose the fact that they were lepers. So they covered it up for as long as possible. Maybe that was the case with this man, I don't know. But I want to say some things here about him and this trouble that was progressing. There was alarm with him, and he wanted to get where Jesus was. He was alarmed and he wanted to get where Jesus was. You see, here was a man, and he was a leper, and he knew it. His condition was such that he had come to realize that his situation was nothing short of desperate. If you were to read Luke's Gospel and Luke's account, it speaks to him as one who is full of leprosy. So for him, there was no escaping that his condition was painful. Yes, it was disfiguring, that is true, as far as his appearance was concerned. But it was something that was a critical condition. The man was in a critical state. And when we think tonight of unconverted men and women, self-assertion, pride, all willingness to believe the Bible are often just partitions that individuals will use in shutting out of their minds their true condition in their sin and the seriousness of it. Just as a leper many a time would hide his leprosy as long as he could, men will try to hide their sin. They'll try to hide their sin. The Bible is very plain and clear regarding the whole matter. It says over there in Isaiah 1, the chapter in its immediate context is referring to Israel long ago, but the words are very applicable. As we read in Isaiah 1 and verse 6, it says, "From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." What an awful picture of tragedy we have here. But you know, it's really just a picture of something that is ongoing, because nothing's been done. It hasn't been bound up. There has been no healing. And that is how men and women in their sin are before the Lord. But if you're convinced tonight, and just as this man became alarmed and tried to get where Jesus is, if you are alarmed tonight, you are in the right place for there to be a transformation in your life this evening. And there are people that we love and know so well, and yet they are in a similar condition to this man and to those mentioned in Isaiah 1, only spiritually. We think of people that we know well drinking themselves stupid every time they get the chance, destroying all their organs. Think of a woman in England. And she sat in another couple's house some years back. And she told me that as she sat there, they put on a DVD about preaching. And almost everything that the preacher said on the DVD, it seemed that he was speaking very directly to her. And sitting there, just at the coast in Bridlington, in the house, she called upon the Lord for mercy. Because that message, it pointed out to her the problem that she had was very deep-seated. It was not something that could be dealt with some sort of a superficial human change. There's only the blood of Christ could help her. And there and then, she called upon him. So it is with you tonight, men and women. And I asked you the question, are you alarmed tonight? Are you alarmed enough to want to be where the Lord Jesus is? He's promised to be in the midst of his people. And we believe with all of our hearts tonight that he is here. So you've come to the right place. But notice something else about this man here. He casts aside all make-believe. You see, when he comes there to the Lord Jesus, he comes to him and says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Now that is so opposite to what people seek to do today. Here's a man and he's putting his hand up and he's saying, Lord, my problem here is uncleanness. It happened to be leprosy. But all around us there are so many, and there's not the willingness to come and to, in openness before the Lord, and say, Lord, I am the sinner. The Bible says there in the book of Proverbs, in 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. And there's nothing new under the sun. It says over there in the book of Isaiah, it's chapter 29 this time, Isaiah 29, and I'll read verse 15. It says there, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Did you ever think in that way, unsaved person? Did you ever think that anything that you did was hid from the Lord? Or did you ever think, who seeth us, or who knoweth us? Well, here's a verse that shows us that the Lord does. If you look at the next chapter in the first verse, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. The whole picture here is a tragic one. It's a tragic picture of pretense. Over there in the Psalm 94, it says there in the verse 7, just for the sake of time, we read that one verse. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. And before that, it lists for us a list of sins. The Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. What folly it all is. Don't imagine for a moment that any of your sins are hidden from the Lord. And if you're to come to the Lord, you must come as this man came. He was coming saying, thou canst make me clean. He didn't say, straighten me up a bit, I'm clean enough, but I just need a bit of help. Rather, he brought his condition before the Lord just as he was. And anything short of that, men and women, we live in a day of shallowness, easy believism, commitment so-called. But anything short of coming before the Lord with all of our sin just as it is, that's not repentance. It's closer to self-pity. And it's seeking to have some kind of a change on your terms and not the Lord's. Much confusion today. The boiler went in the manse the other day. It didn't completely go, but I was out putting the pressure up about 10 times a day to keep the thing going, and it was done, but it had to be replaced. Wee man came the other day to replace it. Very pleasant. And he got talking to me just there whenever he'd finished. And he said, you know, he says, we all was a minister. And I said, no, I was a cool man. And then he said, and he really couldn't have asked me a better question. Because he said to me after, he says, well, we all was a Christian. And that was all the opportunity I needed. Of course, to tell him, of course, I wasn't always a Christian. And told him how I had been saved and give him a testimony there in the hall of the house. Confused. In Northern Ireland in 2017, asking the question, are we always a Christian? And I don't know what your situation is tonight, but if you've never been to Jesus for salvation, if someone were to ask you that question tonight, whatever else you may be, you would have to say no. I'm not a Christian at all. And you will never be unless you cast aside all make-belief. Any outward trappings there are, get rid of them all, just as he did. So here was a man, and he was alarmed, and he wanted to be where Jesus was. You're where he is tonight. He cast aside all make-belief. Of course, the disease was such that here was a man, and we believe he was restless. It's very evident, though the word is not used there, it's very evident that this man was very unsettled as he was, and he wanted it dealt with there and then. He didn't ask for a patch-up job. It had ruined his life for long enough and would continue to get worse. An unsaved person tonight, sin has done well with you so far, but it hasn't finished with you yet. And as you look around you at the most tragic cases in society, at the most heartbreaking situations that there are domestically and other ways around this country tonight, it's all the work of sin. It's nothing to do with deprivation. There were many people in the Bible who had not two brown pennies to rub together, and they were godly people. It's sin. That is the problem. And the bad news is that if you leave it just as it is, not only will it continue to surprise you with its power, but the Bible says when it's finished, it'll bring forth death. And that ought to really sober us all up tonight. This is something, this sin that we're talking about, that has brought so much heartache and done so much wrecking. It's just like this leprosy. It's trouble that is progressing. It's progressing. I mentioned death row some time ago now from my Reddit, but it's amazing the background of some of those individuals. Brought up in the best of homes. Got out into life. Began to dabble in this and dabble in that. And one thing led to another. And all along it was sin progressing. And some of them are lying there until their execution date, because they've committed some of the most abominable things and done some of the most awful things to other human beings. This sin tonight, it's not something to be laughed at or shoved aside. It is something, a trouble that is progressing. But move on here and let's look at his seeking. This man, it says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him. This man meant business. Now, I just want to say to you now, if you want to be saved tonight and you really mean business with the Lord, then the Lord will do business with you. For you'll notice here with this individual that he came to the right person. We would like to think that some people had tried to help him and to do something to ease his suffering. Remember, a little bit of ointment and things like that to nullify the pain for a while. But the very best in the country had no permanent cure. They had no permanent answer to this man's problem. And while we always welcome it when men and women turn over a new leaf and they stop being involved in that, sometimes we speak to them and they say, you know, I haven't done this for years or that for years, or I'm living differently now. And that's always good. It's always good. But it's not salvation. It might be a change of heart, but it's not a heart change. And there's a great difference there. Here was a man and he saw that with all of the goodness that other people could do to him, for him, what he had was a deep-rooted problem, and it was the root that needed to be dealt with. And so it is tonight with the sin that resides in the hearts of men and women. If you're to know true liberation, the only answer from the bondage of sin for the bondage of sin tonight is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just remind you, and I feel I have to do that after talking to that man the other day. Well, you're always a Christian. I have to remind you that all other remedies are folly. It is only coming to the Lord Jesus that can help you. And this man came and he besought him. And let's be fair tonight, the Lord Jesus he sought you out more occasion than one. And organized your circumstances that you can come and listen to singing and listen to the gospel. And come and be in church. How many times? How many years? It says over there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. says there in the verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You'll not read that about anything else. You'll not read if he's in the Free Presbyterian Church, he's a new creature. No, he has every more reason to come to the Lord if he hears the gospel, and he has another opportunity to answer for if he dies without Christ. That's all. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The gap has been bridged by Christ for all who will come to him. The guilt has been cleared for all who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 21 of that chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, for he hath made him, that is Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, that is me and you, those of us who are unclean in our sin, those of us who have this deep-seated problem that nothing but Christ can remove, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. William Hamilton's coming along in a few weeks to give his testimony here. And he, I can guarantee you, in his testimony, will assure us that when he came to Jesus, he came to the right person. He came to the right person. But notice something else about him. He came with great confidence. For he says there, when he came to the Lord, he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed in his heart that the Lord Jesus could help him. And I don't know everyone who will listen to this sermon tonight, or maybe even everyone who's listening now, but probably you believe that too. Deep down in the recesses of your heart, you believe that the Lord Jesus and him only can help you with your soul's need tonight. You believe when I say that he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. You believe that this evening. So it's not that you don't believe that the power of Christ exists. So when we look here at his call or his seeking of the Lord, he came to the right person. He came with confidence, but he came confessing. And we're back again to what he said there. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The word make is referring to something that needed to be done. Thou canst make me clean. He's really confessing here that there's something there that he can do nothing about. And what a picture again of the sinner. The question we have to ask tonight is, why would the Lord in his mercy and power ever stoop down to save people like us? Well, he saved John Newton. John Newton, and I didn't know him personally, but he was worse than you, however you are. And he was a man with a filthy tongue and an awful life. And the Lord saved him. And then he penned the words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me. It is Christ alone. Way back when I was studying in the Whitfield College, I had on one occasion to go to Kirkcubbon. I'm sure some of you know where that is, just below Grey Abbey there. And I was down there, and I went to a car garage and was talking to someone there. And there was a man up a ladder. And another man came along, a slightly older man, and he says, would you look at him? But you look at him climbing up the ladder. He's trying to climb his way to heaven. He says, it'll never work. The Lord's the only way you'll ever get to heaven. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He says, it'll never work. The Lord's the only way you'll ever get to heaven. And he looked at me and he says, not right. And I said, you're right. I didn't know any of them. I was just into the garage. But what truth there was in those words. No other way to heaven. One way, God said, as the children sing here on a Tuesday night, one way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. Why have you not called upon him? We love to see you in the meetings and to be your friend. But why have you not called upon him for salvation? Here was a man who had trouble that was progressing, but now he's seeking. Remember, he's on death row, sin's death row. That's his main problem. The leprosy is bad, but the sin is worse. But we see him here coming and seeking the Lord and confessing his great need to him. But I want you to notice finally that he found Christ to be able abundantly to meet his every need. It says in the verses there, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. The plague was gone. You'll notice there the willingness. He said, I will. Please don't think in the negative tonight concerning Christ and you. If you call in earnestness for spiritual cleansing, you will find it tonight. And he'll still say, I will. In fact, maybe you can look back to when you were just a little boy or a little girl, and someone who loved your soul taught you in the Sabbath school or in the children's meeting. And the message to you then was concerning the Lord Jesus, I will. You heard it then. A little one goes that. And tonight, he's still saying to you, I will. And all during those years in between, he still said to you, I will. His willingness. This man found him willing, and so will you. You'll see that it says here that the Lord touched him. It was not a matter of him going and trying to get cleansed in a way and healed in a way that was medicinally correct. He needed a touch of the Master's hand. And that's what you need as well. And again, those of us in the meeting who are saved can look back to that time, and that was all that we needed. As many as received him, John 1 and 12, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You'll notice that this cleansing, he found Christ to be an abundantly able to meet his every need. He said, I will. And it says there that he touched him. But you'll notice that his healing was immediate. It wasn't a process. It wasn't something that was brought about through steps in his life. But it is tonight, just as it was then. It's here and now, if you will call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you will come. Tonight we have to say in conclusion that there's none of us of ourselves have any claim on him. We must cast ourselves at his feet, just as the leper did. Someone penned the words long ago. They said, I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. Forever I stay away, I know I shall forever die. How true that is. You're in death row. On sin's death row. And Christ is able to deliver you. And again tonight, probably you believe most of the things that we've said. And maybe you know the word better than most of us. But you haven't appropriated it to your own heart. The man one time, in conversation with another man who sold soap. He was in the soap business. He said, you sell soap. He said, well, I preach the gospel. And he says, well, if you preach the gospel, how come there's so much wickedness still about? How come there's so many people who have no interest in your Bible, no interest in your meetings, and just interested in doing your own thing? How come? And he said to the man, he said, do you sell soap? He said, yes. He said, how come there are so many dirty, grubby little boys and girls about? He said, well, soap only cleanses you if you apply it. And then the preacher had his chance. And he said, of course that's true. And he says, men and women hearing the gospel is one thing, but applying it to their lives, appropriating it to themselves, is what is really necessary. That's why there's so much sin on every hand. Men and women tonight, all in their sin, are on sin's death row. The inevitable will happen. We mentioned it earlier. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And death will come because it's speaking here of spiritual death, eternal death. The Bible reminds us concerning our own mortality. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. But Christ can rescue you right now. Just as this man's deliverance from his leprosy was immediate, yours from your sin can be right now in the meeting this evening. So we have to ask you the question in closing, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? Reject him again, or are you going to come to him? I can't make up your mind for you. I wish I could. But I just leave the challenge with you. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now the Lord.